Today's daf is Yud Aleph. We're going to start at the very bottom of Yud Amud Bet, at the two dots. Kamatz va'ala biyado tzvor o gergir melach o koret levona pasul. Okay, if while he's doing the kmitza of the mincha, puts his fingers in, and while he's putting his fingers into the mixture, he ends up with a rock or a grain of salt, right, which we're assuming is a big piece of salt.
I think more pebble than rock.
Right? Okay, a pebble, right. That's true. A pebble is more likely. Or, if someone has a phone, just Google Livona and images, and just, I want to pass it around to show everybody what the Livona look like. The Livona, it looks to me, you know, when you go, those fancy places have these brown sugar rocks, kind of little rocks of brown sugar. That's kind of what it looks like, okay, except not brownish, yellowish, I guess you would call them.
Candy.
But, right, like candy, like these chunks of, a koret is usually, if you would say a kort melach, if you see in a recipe, it means like a pinch of salt, but this is clearly not a pinch. It's clearly larger than a pinch because it's a crystal, right? You would say like a crystal of frankincense. So if while he was doing it, one of these things came into the mixture that he takes with his ham, then it's going to be disqualified. This was in the Mishnah. I just want to read Rashi for a minute because he explains a little bit how it worked. I wasn't so clear about how it works with the Livona. So he says like this. So he says, V'itema, if you look at the very end of the first line of Rashi here, and if you want to say, Ketzad kometz bahare Livona al haminchai, this is what I was trying to figure out. How could you... Rashi says exactly what I was struggling with, which is if you put the Livona on the mincha before the kmitza, and it's these granules of Livona, it's very hard. Well, once you say they're big, I guess you could kind of avoid it, but it's still pretty difficult to avoid getting your Livona in with your kmitza. So this is what he says. He says, which meant that we learn from that pasuk that you actually put the Livona on the mincha mixture before the kmitza. So, tshuva ledavar, kishakometz, this is when he does it, misalek halivona kula letzad echad. Okay, he puts it in the middle first, but then he moves the livona all the way to the side. Vikometz hasolet me'em tzachakli. And then he takes the kmitza from the middle. So now I finally understood what happened. According to Rashi, anyway, whether there's different opinions, I don't know, but you put the livona on top, you move it off to the side, and then you do the kmitza from the center of the mixture.
You can't brush salt aside.
If they're very big granules of salt, you could. But these look, you can see from the picture anyway, that they're bigger than granules of salt. They're these big crystals.
But salt is one of the other.
Right. Salt is more difficult to...
They might have
I assume what happened with the salt was that they... First of all, the salt might have been smaller, but also...
The salt would have been bigger.
I just think that the idea was that they mixed the salt up so that there was no longer.
It says if there's any salt,
right.
it's as relevant as a stone or a livona. I mean, they have to move all of these things out of the way.
Right.
But my guess is
they may have had larger granules of it. But still.
Right, or they might have crushed it up. I think didn't you say at the workshop that there was this midrash you quoted where someone. Right. It was a story he told about someone who choked on a...
But was it salt?
He ate the rock, and then he claimed that it was salt that wasn't ground up and wasn't mixed in properly. So it could be that they mixed according to that. I don't know if that's actually true, but anyway, he suggested that it was salt and it wasn't a rock. I forget the story he quoted, but that it could be that... the Sarham Ofim, that's what he said. The Midrash says about the Sar Ofim that he put a rock in the bread, and then they say that it was salt, but he hadn't mixed it up properly. So it could be that they were large granules of salt, but they would mix them up to this extent that they were no longer noticeable anymore. Also, salt kind of dissolves into a mixture, whereas the Livona, I don't think, dissolves.
Well, I had been wondering all along if he has to do kmitza, where you, at what point in the process you mix the salt in? Because it sounds like it has to be after they do kmitza.
Right. So the truth is also, that was another thing. The salt isn't really supposed to be there at this point. The salt was generally put into the kmitza. In other words, after you did, because alkol karmachat akriv melach, and that's the part that you're supposed to be makriv, that you burn. So the salt was generally added after you did the kmitza. So at that point, there really shouldn't have been salt in there, just like there shouldn't have been pebbles in there, right? The livona, at least, it really did belong there. Okay.
That's why we sprinkle the salt on?
That's why we put salt on bread, right? It's to remember, one of the reasons people give for putting salt on the bread, the challah, is to remember that a shulchan is like a mizbeach, and the bread is like a sacrifice, and therefore people use salt. Okay, kol hane lamali. Why do we have all of these things? Why couldn't you have just said if something, right? One of the items. Tzricha. De'itana tzror, you would have said, okay, if we just had tzror, you would have said a pebble, mishum de la batakravi, because that can't be sacrificed. Ava melach de batakravi, but the salt, and obviously also the livona, which are offered up, you might have thought, well, if it gets mixed up with the levona, with the kmitza, it would be okay. The itana melach, and if it just said salt, you would have said dilo ikba bahade mincha meikara, because it's not. This is what I was saying before. It's not supposed to be there at that point. It's true you can use it, but it's not. You can sacrifice it, but it's not supposed to be there. It's only supposed to come after the kmitza. But the livona, which is supposed to be there at that point, you might have thought would be okay. And therefore, they need to tell you not only things that don't belong at all, not only things that don't belong right now, but even things that belong right now can't be mixed up with this mixture. So now they say, what's the reason? If you remember, the Mishnah gave the reason why. Is it a problem if these things get mixed up? If you have a kmitza which has more than the amount you're supposed to or less than the amount you're supposed to, it's disqualified. My iria mishum chaser v'yater. But the Gemara questions this. Why does it say because of that? V'tepogle mishum chatzitza. It should be because this is a barrier between your hand and the mixture of the mincha that you take in the kmitza, because you now have something else in there and it's kind of blocking. It's chatzitza. So Amar b'yirmiya minatzad. He suggests that maybe, and I have trouble visualizing exactly what we mean. There's going to be a bunch of things about the tzad here today that are going to be a little hard to understand. But the first one is here, where the assumption, I assume, is what he means is that if you picked up this, you did the kmitza, and you have a little bit sticking out, and right where it's jutting out of your hands, and the issue is it can't be a chatzitza between your fingers and your hand and the kmitza that you did. But if it's jutting out the side of your fingers, where it's not actually touching your fingers, and there's a little rock or a little frankincense, then that would still be a problem, okay? And that's what it's teaching you. Even in a case where it wouldn't be a chatzitza, it's still going to be a problem because now you have a shiur that's larger than the kmitza. My problem with understanding this is if it's really jutting out, well, then it's not really part of the kmitza anyway. In other words, generally you brush off the sides. So I was a little bit struggling with what that case was.
Isn't kmitza done on certain menachot before they even mix the flour and the oil? Like they say you do flour, oil, whatever, like the solet.
There's some where you don't mix oil in at all, but I don't think. I think that
when it gets to the kmitza, that it's still in its raw state. It's not
right. No, it should be mixed by that point, from what I understand. Okay. Amar la Abaye l'Rava, ketzad komtzin. How do you do the kmitza? Okay, before I get to here, I just want to point out that if you look at the next Mishnah, okay, just skip down a bunch of lines. The next Mishnah starts off, Ketzad hu oseh, poshet et etzbo'otav al pas yado. Okay, how do you do the kmitza? You stretch out your fingers and, you know, kind of fold them into your hand, like we've talked about before, where you basically grab a bunch between your fingers and your hand, and that's how you do kmitza. If you look, there's a little zayin. In my Gemara, it's a little zayin. I don't know. Sometimes the otiot are different, but I have a little zayin there, which takes you to the side, which tells you in the Shita Mekubetzet, okay, Tevot ketzad hu oseh poshet etzbo'otav al pas yadav nimchak. Okay, it says it's erased. This doesn't belong. This isn't here. Other people say it's not that it's not here, it's that it belongs in the previous Mishnah, and the section we're going to read right now in the Gemara relates to that part of the Mishnah. In some of the Kitveyot of the Mishnah, it appears, or I think like the books of Mishnah, it appears connected with the previous Mishnah. And really, this should be part of the earlier Mishnah, and this section is all relating to that, which is how exactly do you do the Kmitza. That's why I wanted to read that line now. And you can see the next Gemara immediately starts with the second line of that Mishnah. Okay, as if that first line wasn't there, which is why the first line seems to belong to the previous Mishnah. So now we're going to have a whole discussion about how exactly you do the kmitza. So Amale Abaye LeRava Ketzad Kumsin. So Rava says Amale Kedekamse Inche. Okay, that's very helpful, right? The way people do a kmitza. Okay, that's to us it doesn't really help. We don't really know, but the assumption is that what Rava means is with all five fingers. Okay, which we learned is not how you do kmitza. You do kmitza with three fingers. This is one of those classic examples where sometimes a little knowledge makes it very hard to understand what's going on. We know that you do kmitza with three fingers, so what? Right? We assume that Rava's talking about that, but no. Rava seems to say, the way you would take a fistful of anything, how would you take a fistful? You wouldn't use the three middle fingers. You'd use your whole hand. So comes Abaye and he questions, and he says, what do you mean? Etive, I'm going to bring the source which seems to knock it out. And here there's a source which is talking about what are the names of the fingers. Zo Zeret, Zo Kmitza, Zo Ama, Zo Etzba, Zo Gudal. Right? The Zeret is the pinky, the Kmitza is the fourth finger, the Ama is the middle finger, the Etzba is the index finger, and the Gudal is the thumb. So why is it called the kmitza, the fourth finger? It must mean that you don't use your fifth finger for the kmitza. Mm. So what does he say? You know, when I meant kidikamse inche, that you use all your fingers, ela lahashvot. I meant you use all your fingers, but it's you use your two outer fingers to flatten it. That's what we talked about just before, which is you scoop it up with the middle and the two side fingers, the front and the thumb and the pinky, are used to kind of knock off all the extra. This added part of parentheses doesn't appear, this is just interesting, it doesn't appear in any of the Kitvei Yad of the Gemara, but it seems that it was a commentary that they explained it. I'll read it. It explains exactly this. Klomar, komets melo hayad kedei shelo yehe chaser. In other words, you use your whole hand, and it's here what we really mean is you do scoop it up with your whole hand, okay? But then what do? Achar kach mochek be'etzba ketana milamata. In order to ensure that you have a full handful, you take a full handful, then you loosen your two outer fingers and you knock off the sides. So what happened here? This was obviously a commentary on the side that was explaining the Gemara. And at some point, it got into the print, you know, when they used the printed edition, it somehow, you know, got into the text at some point. We don't know whether it was when they printed it or maybe at some earlier stage, it got into the Gemara. Hechi Avid. Okay, so now how exactly do we do this? Amar Rav Zutra Bartuvia Amar Rav. Okay, this is different than Rava, who said you take your, it's according to Rava now, you take your whole hand, you put your whole hand in, and then you take your thumb and your pinky and you knock off the sides. Rav Zutra Bartuvia Amar Rav, Chofesh Shalosh Etzba Otav Ad Shemagia Al Pas Yado Vikometz. You take three fingers, right? You put it in the mixture until you kind of scoop it up into your pas yad, into the palm of your hand. And with that, you do the kmitza. Tanya namihachi, and there's a bracha to support this. Milo kumtso. Okay, they're going to quote two different psukim, one in the beginning of Vayikra, one in Perek Vava Vayikra, where both are talking about the minachot. Milo kumtso, a full handful. Yachom mevroat, you might have thought overflowing, right? Like a heaping teaspoon, right? This would be a heaping fistful, tamulamar, bikumtso, and that was in Vayikra Bet. In Vayikra Vav, it says bikumtso, which sounds like just its handful, not anymore. So now they say ibikumtso. If you want to say it's more mitzumtzam, right, like limited, you might have thought yachol birashe etzbeotav. Maybe you just put the tips of your fingers in. You don't put your fingers and scoop them up onto your palm, meaning like have your fingers fully stretched, but you bend your fingers in and just take a little bit so that your fingers, the bottom, the tops of your fingers are kind of touching the bottom of where your fingers, you know, the very top of the palm of your hand. So you might have thought that if we're going to be more limiting. So he says, Talmud Lamar, Milo Kumtso. Okay, but because it says Milo Kumtso in the Pasuk in Perek Bet, it means a full fistful. Ha ketzad. So how exactly do you do this? So this is going to be, remember, we were bringing this to support Rav's reading of how you do it with the three etzba'ot as opposed to Rava, who seemed to say your whole hand. Chofesh shalosh etzba'otav al pas yado. Okay, you bend your three middle fingers into your hand. Vikometz. Okay, and then you do the kmitza. Ve b'machvat u'b'marcheshet. Now here it seems to say that you don't actually use your pinky and your thumb to flatten things out in all of the minachot, only in particular ones, and we're going to see why in a minute. B'machavat u'b'marcheshet, Okay, what's the difference between those two?
One is flat.
Okay, so one is a flat and one is a deeper pan, but what's...
They're also already done, and then they're broken into potatoes.
Exactly. So these get baked first,
or fried.
Then, or fried, right? They get fried or baked, and then you break them into pieces. Now, there's a debate about how many pieces you break it in, okay, how it works. So this Gemara, this Braita supports the reading that you break it into big chunks, like, you know, little pieces, but still chunky. At that point, what happens when you do the kmitza then, and you have these, you're going to have a big piece that's partly inside your hand and partly outside your hand. So now you're going to need to use your fingers to knock off the extra, but without losing what's inside. Now that's why, if you remember, we said this. We're going to see it in a minute. Vizohi, right? Mochek bigodalo milamalu beetzbo ktano milamata. Vizohi avodah kashasha b'mikdash. And that's why it's so difficult, right? When we talked about the kmitza before, it didn't sound like it's such a difficult thing to just scoop off a little extra dough with your fingers. But if it's hard and it's, you know, these, you know, crystal-like pieces or, you know, big chunks, how are you going to knock them off? It's without losing what's inside. That's the challenge of the avodah. Okay, now if you look at Tosfot says, "Leman damar beperek elu menachot shemachziran l'sultan." Okay, there's another opinion there on Ayin Hey. We're going to see that it says you actually ground it up into flour, and that you grind it up into little granules,
like matzah meal, where you bake the thing.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Eina kasha yoter minchat solet, and therefore it's no different than a regular mincha. Okay, so he gives a different explanation there. Okay, we're not going to get into the details, but the point is, it's a little difficult according to that interpretation.
And he's saying that you ground the salt?
After you've baked it or fried it, you then grind it up into teeny weeny pieces. According to that, it's not going to be so difficult. Right? It's not going to be any more difficult than a regular mincha. Okay. Okay, so now we basically brought this braita to support Rav about how you do it, that you use three etzbaot and not your whole hand. So now they say, first they're going to question this, Zoe avodah kasha shebimikdash. Zeu v'tulo, there's nothing else that's so difficult. We've seen this before. Ma'ika malika. Malika was very complicated. How to, you know, break the vertebrae with your thumb, you know, the back of the bird, and then you know, pinch its neck. Ma'ika chafina. It was also very challenging, the chafina. That was when the Kohen scooped up, okay, now the scooping part is not going to be the challenging part here, but what do? He scoops up Ketoret. Today we're going to learn about exactly how he does that also. And then, that was when he uses his left hand. Remember, he brings the kop with one hand and the machteh and the pen with the right hand, and he goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim. He places the Ketoret on the floor, and then he has to take all the Ketoret that he scooped up with his hands, he has to scoop it all up again with his hands and put it on the fire in the Kodesh Kodeshim. Now that's going to be difficult. Why? It's a little hard to scoop up every single bit that he scooped up on the first handful, right? Or it's actually two hands worth, right? It's going to be very difficult to scoop all that up with his hands without losing anything and get it all onto the fire. So what about those two? Ella, zoi achat me'avodot kashot shebimikdash. Okay, it wasn't the only one. There's a few others. Now, Rav Papa's going to have some questions here. He's going to have a bit of a different approach. Pshitali melokum tso kidikam se inche. It's obvious to me that melokum tso means kidikam se inche. Now, there's a few different interpretations here. The Rambam seems to paskin, by the way, that you do kmitza with five fingers, at least in certain cases. There's a whole strange sheet of the Rambam, and they say it's based on this, okay? That he basically agrees with Rava, who said that you use all five fingers to do it. It's a question how you understand. Does he use all five fingers and then scoop off from the sides? There's a big question about the Rambam in general here and what Rav Papa exactly means. Some people interpret Rav Papa doesn't mean that. He just means, how do you take your fistful? So the assumption is he means that you take it from, that we're now going to see this terminology that Rav used, that some of them are fresh. It's very unclear. No one's exactly clear on this, and it makes sense because they weren't doing kmitza anymore, and it was unclear to, you know, certainly the Mefarshim, what they were talking about in the Gemara. Even to the Gemara, it was unclear what exactly is going on. That's why we're going to have all these questions here. But even what the questions are is going to be a little bit unclear to the Mefarshim. So, Pshita limalokum so kidekam se inche, which we're going to assume means that kidekam se inche is, there's two interpretations. Either that it means with your thumb on top and your pinky at the bottom and your fingers go out to the sides. In other words, we assume that you're putting your hand, you know, your palm face face up. I'm sorry, your palm face down. Put your hand into the mixture. Kind of your hand is flat. According to this, your hand is standing where, you know, kind of on its side, where the thumb is up, the pinky's at the bottom, and that's how you're going to take your fistful out of the dough. Okay, you're going to kind of lower it down and take it that way, where, that's, why is it could come say and shake? Because normally, how's your hand held? Your thumb is on top and your pinky's at the bottom. Okay? Some people say, no, 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 what this means is what we thought, which is palm side down, fingers go in. Okay? Palm side down, fingers go in. Okay, so there's two different interpretations of what exactly this means. Now, and that's, even though it's pashut to him, it's already no longer pashut to anyone what exactly was so pashut to him. Bye, Rav Papa. But now he has a question. We're going to have a whole slew of questions. They're all going to be answered in teiku, which means we don't really know. Bye, Rav Papa, kamatz b'rashay etzba'otav. Okay, which either means, okay, if we said it meant that your thumb is on top and your pinky's at the bottom, so then rashay etzba'otav, they're going to explain, means when you put your hand in, the way we thought, okay, with your palm facing down. The second interpretation is that rashay etzba'otav means you only use your fingers, and that if you put your hand with your fingers inside, you're using both your palm and your fingers to get the kmitza. Rashay etzba'otav isn't what we said before, rashay etzba'otav, where he just, you know, uses just the fingertips, like the tips of his fingers, and doesn't go all the way into his palm. Here we assume you're going into your palm, but the question is, are you using just your fingers? Like, more like your fingers go into the dough and picks up into your hand. That's what he means by rashay etzba'otav, that you're not actually using your palm for the act of kmitza. Would that work? And minat stadim, again, I'm going to give you two different interpretations. Either you did it, you use the, your palm is facing up. You dip your palm into the dough and then lift it up like that. Or, does it, and then, and the mixture kind of comes through. Let's think about it. When you put this in, the dough will kind of fall into your hand from the sides. That's why it means from the sides. Okay? The second interpretation is that instead of taking it from the center of the mixture, like we saw in Rashi, you took it from the sides of the kli. Okay? That maybe is a better, to me, it seems like a better interpretation. Those are both two interpretations Rashi gives. And mimata lamala mai. Okay, this is when you put your hand in the same way we just said minat zedim, you put your hand all the way in with palm facing up, and then instead of it coming from the sides, it comes through your fingers. Okay, it comes kind of, you keep your fingers open, the space between your fingers open, and it comes through the space of your fingers. That's milamata lamala, or at least it seems. Teiku. Okay, we don't know. Now, since he was talking about all sorts of questions about how you do kmitza, he's now going to move to questions about how you do hafina with the ketoret on Yom Kippurim. So you're supposed to do two handfuls, okay? Two chofanim, which you're supposed to kind of bring your hands together. Okay, we're going to see here. Right, if you would take, right, you would take your two hands, bring them together, right, in the mixture, and take it up. But now we're going to question by Rav Papa, chafan b'rashay etzba'otav mayhu. Okay, what if he does it with rashay etzba'otav? Okay, what if he uses his fingers? Now here it's not so clear again what we mean with using your fingers. Okay, does it mean? I have to remember the different interpretations here. With your fingers, it was, right, your hands are, right, you kind of, again, you could put your fingers in rather than your hand and kind of lift it from your fingers and not your hands. That's one of the interpretations. Minat stadim mahu, again, you could say both ways. Either you kind of brought each hand, filled it up, and then brought them together, or you took it from the side of the kli. Chafam bizo. Oh no, sorry. I just interpreted the wrong way. It's either minat sedim that you took it from the side of the kli, or right. This one I actually didn't understand. Rashi says, "Hichnis ktoret bechofnav derech bein agudal laetzba." Somehow you use the space between your finger, your thumb, and your index finger to get it out. I wasn't exactly sure how you did that. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I think, again, the minat stadim to me sounds like a better interpretation that you took it from the sides of the kli rather than the center. Chafam bizo bizo. What if you took a handful from one side, a handful from the other, and then you brought them together? Mahu, would that work? Teiku. Okay, we don't know the answer. Baira Papa, more questions. Dav ke lekometz. Now we're going to talk about when you take the kmitza and you put it in the kli sharet. Remember, you did the kmitza, now you have to put it in the kli sharet. What if, dav ke lekometz bidfaneha demana? instead of putting it in the center of the kli, you stuck it on the side of the kli on the inside. My, would we say, toch kli be'inan, it has to be inside the kli, v'ha'ika, and it is actually inside the walls of the kli. O dilma hanacha b'tocho be'inan v'leikor, it has to be in the center of the kli, and you didn't do that. Teku, we don't know the answer. By Marbar of Ashi, he has another question about this kmitza in the klei sharet. Havche lamani b'davke lekometz bar ita demana. If you remember, a lot of kelim in those days, there was a kli, like a kiddush cup, and there's a stand at the bottom, kind of, you know, it's a base. So when you turn it upside down, you can actually fit something into the base, and that's part of the kli. So if you put it in there, would you say, my hanacha b'tocho be'inan v'ha'ika, it has to be put inside the kli, and it actually is inside the kli. It's inside the bottom of the kli, but it's inside the kli. O dilma kitikno be'inan v'leikor, or it's have to be done the way it's supposed to be done, and this clearly isn't the way it was meant to be done. And again, teku. Okay, so we don't have answers to any of these questions. Okay, so again, the next Mishnah, the first line, which we already read and said is connected to the early previous Mishnah. Ketzadu osa poshet etzbotava pas yado. And now we're going to have a halacha about the shemen and the levona that go in the mincha. Riba shamna, chaser shamna, chiser levonota psula. If you put too much oil or too little oil, it's pasul. And if you put not enough levona, it's pasul. Here it doesn't say if you put too much levona, it's pasul. So we're going to get to that later. Hechidami ribashamna. So what does this mean, you put too much oil? How much oil? So first of all, you're supposed to put a log of oil for an isaron of the solet. There's a bit of a debate. If the mincha, it's a big mincha, you have two esronim, two tenths of it. Isaron is a tenth of an eifa. If you have two esronim, do you need two log of shemen, or is a log of shemen the measurement for whatever size mincha, you know, whatever size solet you need to do? But either which way, let's just go with the log shemen. So hechidami ribashamna, amar Rabbi Elazar, kigon shefrish la shnei login. Okay, it's a case, again, now either you would say it's shnei login in any mincha, or it's shnei login in a classic mincha, right? A mincha that's the size of an isaron. So if you put double the amount, that's going to be a problem. But if it's between one log and two, it's not going to be a problem. It says ribas shamna, what could you have done? You could have, in theory, added shemen that was meant for a different mincha, that's shemen de chaverta, or shemen of chulin that wasn't even sanctified and wasn't meant to be here. That should also disqualify it. And if you want to say, no, only it, remember, it says ribas shamna, its own shemen. So why didn't it say ribas shemen of chulin, or shemen of chaverta? So if you want to say maybe that doesn't possible it, Matkifla Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, it can't be, because Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia says it can't be that it doesn't possible it, because he says Elameata Minchat Kote de Pasal Bashemen Hechi Mishkachala. There would be no way of a Mincha Kote that you could mess up its shemen if that was the case, that you could disqualify it by adding shemen, because the Mincha Kote has no shemen. Remember, it has no shemen and no levona. It's a very basic mincha. And that case would never be able to be disqualified by shemen if it's only its own shemen. So therefore, and he assumes it must be able to be disqualified by adding shemen. And therefore, right, the only way to say that would be, right, idida haleitla. If it's its own shemen, there is no such thing. Idichulinu dechaverta hamarat lo pasal. And if you want to say the chulinu chaverta doesn't disqualify, well then that wouldn't disqualify. So therefore, they answer like this: Rabbi Elazar lo mebaya kamar. It's a loma baya structure, which means not only this, but even something more than this. So when he says the shamna, he means, right, loma baya dechulin dechaberta pasal. Obviously, if you add shemen of chulin, or you add shemen of a different mincha, of course it's going to disqualify it. And that, I think the assumption here is that would be any measurement, right? Not even if it's too low, right? Any measurement of some other shemen. But aval ifrish la shnei login, right? But the chidush here is even if you added for its own sake, okay, shnei logim, but you did double the amount, ho'il v'hai chazele v'hai chazele ema lo lifso. You might have thought since each log on its own could be ra'oi to go in this mincha, maybe it wouldn't disqualify it. Kamash malan that it does disqualify it. Umunale l'Rabbi Elazar ha, where does he know this from? Amarava matnitin kishite. Because he said, where does he get it from? Rava says, the Mishnah is difficult to him otherwise, if you wouldn't say this. My iria detani ribas shamna. litany, ribala shemen. He says he obviously assumes this is the case because it says shamna, like I said before, its own shemen. If the Mishnah meant some other shemen, it would have said ribala shemen. And therefore he learns it must be that you did two times the amount. Chiser levonota. Okay, now we're going to get to the levona being chaser. Now here it's a little tricky because the levona doesn't really have a particular shiur. Each, yeah, I don't know what you want to call it, crystal of, we'll call them crystals of levona. Each crystal of levona is kind of a different size, as you can see from the pictures, okay? But you're supposed to take a handful of levona. Okay? A handful of levona is obviously going to be a large number of crystals. So now, what are we going to how do we explain this? Tanu Rabbanan. Chasra va'amda al koret echad psula. So at what point are we going to call this that it's chaser levona? So according to the first opinion, we're going to say, if it's only one crystal left, that means it's chaser, it's disqualified.
What do you mean left?
It means if you put it in and then they fell off, they got lost, somebody took it.
If you didn't move it all.
Right. Al shnei kratin kshera. But if you still have two left, then it's okay. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon omer, al koret achad kshera, pachot mikan psula. He says as long as you have one left, it's okay. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says you need a minimum of two, and Rabbi Shimon says you need a minimum of one. The Hatanya, and here it seems like the Girsa doesn't say Rabbi Shimon, but there was an assumption that this was said by Rabbi Shimon. Kometz ulevona. Now here there's even, we're going to change the word kometz, and the word in some of the Kitveyad, the Vav doesn't appear here. It sounds like it's not a kometz like a kometz of Mincha and the Livona. It sounds like it's just talking about the Livona, and it means kometz Livona shechasar kolshu, in other words, a handful of Livona that's missing any bit of it. In other words, that you took a handful and now a little bit is missing from what was there. Pasul. And didn't Rabbi Shimon just say that as long as you have one left, it's okay? So if you took this whole handful and you're missing a teeny bit from that handful, it should be okay. Tane, koret levona, he says, change the nusach. It should read like this. Not kovet levona. It should read koret levona. Shechasar kol shu pasul. That's if you have this koret of levona, and as you have one left, and it's missing any bit of it, then it's a problem, okay? But as long as you have a full koret, that's enough. Okay, and that's how they explain it. Or the second interpretation is that maybe it's a distinction between different types of levona. Okay, and we saw this kind of distinction before, not about the levona, about the mincha. V'ibayitema kam b'levona haba'ima mincha, kam b'levona haba'a b'fnei atzma. There's a difference between a levona that's offered with the mincha. That case, it's enough to just have one koret left. It's fine if you have one crystal. But if you offer up a levona on its own, you make a neder, I want to bring a levona to the Beit HaMikdash, then whatever you bring, if it's missing anything from that, it's going to be pasul, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, because we're going to treat a levona that's on its own, like we saw this with the mincha, right? The mincha that comes by itself rather than the mincha that comes with the korban. So the levona that comes on its own, we're going to be more strict with than we're going to be with the levona that just goes alongside the mincha. Amar Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Gimel machlokot b'davar. He now goes back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, chisar levona psula, which sounded like any sort of chisaron. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon who said, well, as long as you have one left, as long as you have two left. So he says, look at our Mishnah, take our Mishnah combined with those two opinions, and we actually have three opinions. Rabbi Meir, we usually say Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is our Mishnah. Savar, and now he's going to explain what they agree on and what they disagree on. He's going to take it one step farther. So he's going to say, our Mishnah is talking about even Kol Shehu. And now he's going to say like this. The question is, at what stage are we discussing? There's two stages. There's the moment of Kmitza, right before you do the Kmitza. Is it missing the Livona? And right before you do the burning. Okay, those are two critical moments, the burning and the kmitza. Those are the two key avodot. So he says, Rabbi Meir Savar, okay, our Mishnah, which says, Chisar levona pasul, kometz b'tchila v'kometz basof. Okay, he's saying you need the full handful in the beginning and the full handful at the end, meaning both at the moment of kmitza and at the moment of haftarah, can't be missing any levona. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough if there's just two left. He holds kometz b'tchila u'shnei kratin basof. You need a whole kometz in the beginning, but as long as you have shnei kratin at the end, when you do the moment of haftarah, as long as, what's he saying? The critical moment is kmitza. as long as the full shear of Livona was there at the beginning, if it's missing by the time you do the burning, that doesn't bother us. Rabbi Shimon is, but he needs a minimum of two. Rabbi Shimon Savar comments betchila, he needs a full handful at the beginning. V'koret echa basof, okay, and you only need one koret at the end. So he kind of holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's the moment of kmitza, but he differs in terms of how much you need to be left at the end. U'shloshtam mikra chadershu, and they all learn it out from the same pasuk. What's the pasuk? In Vayikra Vav it says, V'et kol ha-levona asher al ha-mincha, right? The whole levona, which is on the mincha. So Rabbi Meir Savar, in other words, it says it's called Levona Asher Lamincha. Okay, you have to read the rest of the pasuk. It says there, okay, right after that. Okay, let me just open it in my. It says, right, where is it? What's the pasuk? It's hey.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not hey. Here's it's in okay. Pasuk Zion starts Vizot Torah Mincha. This is how you do the Mincha, okay. And then in Pasuk, okay, Pasuk Chet. Ve'irim imenu bekumtso. We darshan that before bekumtso. Misolat haMincha u'mishamna. Ve'et kol levona asher ala Mincha. And then there's an et nachta break in the pasuk. Ve'iktir haMizbeach reach nichoch es karat al Hashem. So right then you do the Haktarah. So what does he say? When you do the Haktarah, it has to be the Levona Asher al HaMincha that was with the Mincha from the beginning. Okay, so you need the whole thing to be there. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, kol afilu chad koret, et lerabot koret acher. Rabbi Yehuda says, why do you need two? Because kol HaMincha, kol comes to say, and that's, Rabbi Meir said kol means the whole thing. He says kol means even if you have one. And then et kol comes to teach you, well, you need an additional one. He darshens the et to be, you need an additional one. So he says, et is one, and kol is another, that's why you need a minimum of two. Rabbi Shimon, very simply, et lo darish. He doesn't darshen etim, so he just has the kol, which means only one. Okay. Another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Machloket b'levona haba ima mincha. Okay, their whole machloket, though, is only when you have the levona that goes with the mincha, which makes sense, because their whole drasha was based on the pasuk about the mincha. Ava b'levona haba b'fnei atzma, divrei hakol, komets b'tchila, b'komets b'sof. Okay, you're going to have the whole thing from the beginning to end in a case of levona that comes on its own. Lahachi itzdrich, that's why it says, asher ala mincha. To teach you is what I just said. Debahade minchain b'fnei atzma lo. That only when it comes with the mincha does it not need the whole shiur, but if it comes with b'fnei atzmo, no. Next statement of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Machloket b'levona haba ima mincha. Okay, same thing we just said, but now he's going to say, aval b'levona haba b'bezichin. But when you have the levona, we have the levona in three places. One, you could do your own levona. One, it goes alongside a mincha, and it also gets taken out of, it sits, well, it does two things. It sits with the lechem apanim all week, these two bowls of frankincense, and then when you remove the lechem apanim, you remove the bezichim with the levona, and then you offer them up. Now, the assumption is that there's, again, two stages like with the mincha. The mincha, you do the kmitza, and then you burn it. With the bezichim, you do the removal, which is like the kmitza, and then you do the burning, which is like the burning. Okay, so we're going to compare the removal of the bezichim to the removal of the kmitza in the mincha. Okay, so now he's going to say, "B'levona haba bezichim, divrei kol shnei kmatzim b'tchila u'shnei kmatzim basof." Everybody agrees that for the beginning and to the end, you need two full kmatzim. Okay, you need two full handfuls, and you know, one in each bezich, in each bowl. Pshita. So they say, obviously, you need a full handful in each. And what's the question here? So you might have said, "Ma'u detema kevan de bahade lechem atya." And what's the assumption? The assumption here is that we're comparing the bezichim of levona. They stand on their own, right? Just like a levona that you would offer on your own. But they say, no, you might not necessarily have assumed that, because you might have said, since they go alongside the bread and they're really just a what's the word? Extension of the bread. So say accessory. That's the word I was looking for. De bahade lechem atya. It's like the pasuk al mincha. And why was it so obvious in the beginning that you wouldn't say this? Because it doesn't say asher al mincha. The whole drasha was asher al mincha, so it would only be a mincha. But now they say, no. Maybe this is like a mincha because it comes as an accessory to something. Kamashman. Okay, now that we're going to say, Pligi bar Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Chanamar, machloket abba b'levona, memincha, abba b'levona, abba b'fnei atzma, divrei akol, komets b'tchila, v'komets b'sof, which is exactly matches what they said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. B'chanamar, but one of them, either Rabbi Ami or Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, said, ke machloket b'zo, kach machloket b'zo. And that's a different shita. That in all the levona we're talking about, as long as you have a minimum, again, depends who you are, whether you're Rabbi Meir, who actually says, can't be missing anything, or Rabbi Yehuda says a minimum of two, or Rabbi Shimon says a minimum of one, it's fine. And that would count in all the other levonot. Chisir levonot ha-psula. Okay, now we get to this last line of the Mishnah. If you're missing part of levonot, it's psula. But it didn't say, like it said by the Shemen, ha-yatir k'shera. But it sounds like if you have too much, it would be okay. V'ha-tanya doesn't say in a breita, yatir psula. Dafka, if you have too much levonot, it's psul. Amarami brachama, kigon shefrish la shnek matzin. Rambam Chama says it's a case where it's not going to be pasul if you did. Now here, what's the issue? When you do a handful, so there could be, right, people's handfuls are very different one from the other, so it's a very subjective amount. And here there's also none of that, like, get off the extra, you know, it doesn't have any of those elements to it. So what he's saying is if you have a more than a handful, it's fine, but if you did two handfuls, that's already like an extra shiur, that's no good. Va'amarami barchama, hifrish lashnei kmatzim, va'avad achad mehem kodem kmitza. If you take two kmatzim, but one gets lost before the kmitza, lo hukubu'u, which means what? Meaning, again, we go back to the moment of kmitza is when it matters. So if you had two handfuls of livona before, we said a minute ago, that would be pasul. But if one of them got lost, meaning got knocked off and wasn't around at the time of kmitza, then it's fine because you're doing your kmitza on one handful of livona. Achar kmitza hukbu, but if it got lost, if two handfuls were on there at the moment of kmitza, and then it got lost afterwards, then that's no good. Va'amarami barchama, hifrish arba'a kmatzim. We're now going to see the exact same thing. And you took four handfuls l'shnei b'zichin, which is again double the amount. Va'avdu shnayim mehem kodem siluk b'zichin. Since, what did we say? The moment of siluk b'zichin is the same as the moment of kmitza. So if it was missing already, you know, let's say it was sitting there all week, you had two b'zichin with four kmitzas, four handfuls of livona inside each, you know, two in each, and then before you remove the b'zich, you would say lohukbu, meaning that's okay. If you had the right amount at the moment you took them off, then it's fine. La'achar siluk b'zichin, but if after you took off the b'zichin, then you lost two of them and you had the right amount, then it's too late. Hukbu, they were already nikba at the moment of siluk b'zichin. So if already we're going to assume that siluk b'zichin is equal to kmitza, so hatu lamali, why do you need to say both these things? Hainuach, they're the same thing. No, because they're different. Why are they different? Mao ditema kevan de barir chomets dida kevan shigias mana la porka keman de prikadamia kamashmanan. You might have thought what? Since already the bezichin are designated with the kmitza of the livona inside them and they've been sitting there all week and you had a double amount, maybe at the exact moment that you're supposed to do the siluk bezichin, even if you haven't yet done them, and it's all there, and let's say a minute later, two get lost, and you walk out with the right amount, maybe you would have messed it up because they were already designated into their bezichin and sitting there all week. You might have thought that it's as if it was already prika happened, and therefore we'd say it was pasul. Kamash malan, that even that is okay. Okay, I'm just going to make a point here. I don't want to get into this because we have time and it's a little much for Dafyomi, but this whole last section about it missing and the two kmatzim, there's a big debate about versus Rashi's interpretation versus other. There's two different interpretations in Rashi. There's questions. There's a lot more. I explained it very simply, but it's not so clear exactly what it means. My interpretation was one, I went with Rashi, but there's a second reading of Rashi and a whole different way of reading this entire sugya, so I'm just kind of putting it out there. Sunday.